This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
My friend Scott Lapierre is on the line. He is calling in from the state of Washington. Brrr. He's got a beard to keep him warm in the winter. How you doing, Scott?
Good, Rick. Good to be back on your show. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here always. Your Finances God Way is his title of his new book. He is the father of 10 children and an 11th one on the way. Congratulations.
Thanks, Rick. So, like, surprise to us, too.
Yeah, that's great. You know what's causing that, right?
We can't figure it out. That's why it keeps happening. So.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, we need to do a show on that sometime.
I'd enjoy that.
I went to Africa with a friend of mine who's a pastor in New Hope, Virginia, and they had eight or nine children. And he and his wife said, what's great about it is, Annette said, the older ones take care of the younger ones, so it's actually easier to have more kids than not. But
that's interesting. Probably 15 years ago, almost, or 14, we had two or three small children. And there was a gentleman who had a lot of kids himself, and he gave us some counsel. And he said, right now is the toughest it's going to be when you have two or three small children. You're in the trenches, because when the kids get older, you'll have older kids who can help. But right now you don't have that. And he was right about that. So it's just like your friend said, too.
You know, you wonder why a guy like you gets favor from God, because, I mean, I think about Abraham. What was it about Abraham that he became the first friend? Sometimes that breaks me up. How did he become the first friend of our father, you know, and why did he choose him? And you know, so to get great favor. And I said to Scott before we got on air, I said, to me, I mean, it's even kind of reprehensible to even bring it down to dollars, to say, well, you're a billionaire because you have 11 children now. With the 11th on their way. So obviously every child's worth, you know, ad infinitum, billions. But what a great gift. I mean, do you pinch yourself sometimes knowing that God's hand has done all this for you?
We do feel very blessed, Rhett. There are challenges and there are great blessings. And, you know, the funny thing is, our plan when we got married, it wasn't like, let's have as many kids as we could have, you know, or try to have as many as possible. It was more like, let's just let God be in charge of this area of our lives. And it could have been, you know, three or four kids. And I did not expect to, you know, have 10 or 11. And we just wanted to get to the end of our lives and feel like God built our family for us, that he had his fingerprints on us. And so, yeah, it could have been 5, 6, could have been 2 or 3. This ends up being 11. And so,
let me ask you this.
We feel very blessed.
I'm going to ask you if you were brought up in a nice household, because I was brought up with a lot of finances. We were okay that way, but there was death of my father, and then there was an abusive stepfather, and both my mother and stepfather were addicted to alcohol. And so sometimes I think, well, God didn't give me children because I had no idea how to actually treat children well, because I was not treated too well. Mm-hmm. Were you brought up in a solid house, or were you learning on the job? I mean, because a lot of times if you've got a father to emulate, he teaches you by example how to be a dad.
Mm-hmm. Right. So growing up, it was just my brother and I. We didn't come from a Christian home, and we didn't come from a large family. I would say it was a loving home. My parents were not abusive or anything. My dad worked hard. They provided for us well. I became a Christian in my early 20s, and that's when kind of the convictions I have today began. So I wasn't you. And my wife grew up, and it was just, she only had two siblings. And so she wasn't from a large family either. And so we're both kind of figuring this out as we go. We have some other large families that we study or are familiar with or friends with, that we see how they do life and try to learn from them. But yeah, neither of us, there was no on the job training. It wasn't until my early 20s that this was, wow. You know, I became a Christian and had this conviction.
Okay, now I want because we're going to talk about God's finances, Your Finances, God's Way, your new book. But I do want to ask you this, a short version. How does someone who comes from a non-godly household, non-church-going household, at the age of 20, come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rhett. And I'm always thankful for the opportunity to share this. So I said that it's just my brother and I growing up. And my brother got addicted to drugs. He was a very functioning drug addict. Like, he didn't look like an addict on the street or anything like that. He got addicted to pain pills. And when I was 22, my dad called me because he'd gotten the news that my brother had overdosed. And that was devastating to our family.
Did he die?
And what's that?
Your brother died?
He died. Yes. He died of a drug overdose. He was 18 months younger than me. So it was a real shock to our family. And again, because he looked healthy, we weren't anticipating anything like that. He actually took steroids, was another drug. That's not what he died of, but he got addicted to pain pills and overdosed on pain pills. And he was in the military. We were both in the military, and he was jumping out of planes. He's in the 82nd Airborne, and he could go to the hospital and say, "Hey, I have pain in my knees," and they're not really keeping track of how many pills he's getting. So he was getting as many as he wanted, and his addiction was just growing. And I was an elementary school teacher at that time. I had gotten out of the military, and I was teaching with some Christians that went to the same church, and they said, "Hey, why don't you come to our church with us, because our pastor lost his brother when he was about your age." And so I went to this church. I didn't go there to be saved or born again. Those weren't terms that I was familiar with. I thought I was a good person. Good people go to heaven.
So why did you go?
I went because just to talk to the pastor. They said, "Hey, come talk to our pastor. He can help you. We know you're struggling." And
you were in the center. Struggling. You were in the center of grief.
Yes. And so I go to this pastor, I go to this church. I don't bring a Bible with me. I walk in, they hand me a Bible, and the pastor starts preaching verse by verse. And it was just a very dramatic Sunday. I thought, wow, I can understand God's word. He's speaking to me through it. I was already looking forward to coming back the following Sunday, even though I hadn't talked to the pastor yet. But yeah, that was my whole reason for going to church in the first place, was these teachers invited me and said, "Hey, you should come talk to our pastor who can help you during this time." And I thought, well, I could use some help. You know, it can't hurt. My parents will probably be encouraged that I went to church or went to get help somewhere. And so I also went just so I could tell them that.
So what happens? Did you go forward, or when did that happen?
Yeah, good question, Rhett. So I sat through that service really excited about what I was hearing and learning and believing that I could. And I was raised Catholic, and in the Catholic Church, there's kind of this belief that the Bible is a very taboo or cryptic book that you can't really understand, and you know you need to talk to the priest or listen to the Pope. And so when I went there and I could understand the Bible, it was very life-changing for me. And I thought, wow, you know, God is speaking to me through his word. And then I heard the gospel soon after that. It bore witness to me that we're justified by grace through faith in Christ, which contradicted what I heard in the Catholic Church, that we're justified by good works or communion, confirmation, first communion, baptism. And it bore witness to me that, wow, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I became a Christian after that, and pretty soon went into ministry a few years later.
Wow. Jump into ministry, huh? So yeah. was there anything that happened miraculous, or this, how did you know you were called into ministry?
You know, that's a good question too, Rhett. And I was a school teacher and coach at that time, and I thought I was going to spend my life doing that. And I really loved it. You know, I'd be in my classroom in the evenings or on the weekends, which kind of, you know, maybe I didn't have much of a life, but I really liked teaching, and I liked the students and the coaching. And then there was this one day I remember pretty vividly when I'm in class, and I thought, you know what, I want to tell people to open their Bibles versus telling students to open their English books. I just was really developing. I was doing some teaching in small ways, like in home fellowships. Katie and I would start attending a home Bible study, and we got invited to lead that study. And so people started talking to me saying, you know, we could really see you being a pastor. Have you thought of being a pastor someday? We could see you being a pastor. And so after hearing that enough times and kind of feeling like, wow, you know, I would really love to preach God's word for a living. And so then a position became available as a part-time pastor at a local church, and that's kind of how the transition went there.
Cool. Well, here you are today now with 11 children. Of course, no, well, the 11th is on its way. So your wife now, obviously you need to have, what do you call it when you're equally,
equally yoked?
Yeah, equally yoked, in case somebody doesn't know, the oxen have a yoke, and you have one that was short, it's going to off balance it. So, when you're in ministry, I mean, your wife's in ministry too.
Yes,
just
she
like
is.
When she has a child, you've had a child too.
Yep.
So, how has that fared? Well, I mean, so obviously there had to be a certain calling to be by your side as a man who's in service 24 hours a day to a congregation? How big is your congregation, by the way?
It's maybe 250. It's not a mega church or anything. It's a nice family church.
I think 250 is mega enough for me.
So
that's great.
Yeah, well, I know we're supposed to be talking about finances, but my other I've done some interviews and you interviewed me about marriage. One of my other books is called Your Marriage God's Way. And I will say this, Rhett, I think many people get married kind of based too much on feelings, and feelings come and go. Mm. And it really should be more objective. So when I was looking to get married, I knew a few things. I knew I wanted a woman who was going to let God plan the family, or let God give us as many kids as he wanted. Well, that gets rid of a lot of women. I thought I was going to be a pastor. So I also needed, just like you're saying,
well, that's going to get rid of a lot of women.
A woman who feels called to be a pastor's wife. So that gets rid of a lot of women. And I was also pretty certain that we were going to homeschool. So that gets rid of, so you got about 99% of the women
like,
that are.
You sound like the story of Gideon, you know.
Yeah. So the really funny thing is, Rhett, Katie and I grew up together in Northern California. So here I am looking for a wife, and I end up marrying the wife of my youth. So,
oh, isn't that great?
Yeah.
You had no inkling when you were friends growing up, and would we went to grade school together or what?
Yeah. And we actually, when we were in high school, we dated each other's best friend. I dated her best friend. She dated my best friend. We went out on double dates and we never dated. And then the thing that drew us together, Rhett, was after high school, we start talking. It's like, you became a Christian. Oh, you became a Christian. And then we have this connection
and we
start sharing about how we came to Christ. And I wasn't a good guy. I wasn't the kind of guy you'd want your daughter to date when I was growing up. And so I think Katie was kind of surprised, like, wow, Scott LaPierre became a Christian. And so, yeah, I'm talking to her and I'm like, hey, what do you think about, you know, kind of expecting her to be turned off, just like every other woman I talk to is turned off. Hey, what do you think about being a pastor's wife? Hey, what do you think about letting God give us, being in control of this area? And Katie's like, oh yeah, I that all sounds good to me. So
look at that. Well, you know, it is written that a cord of three is not easily broken. Well, and whether you're a pastor or not, your marriage should have female, male, and Jesus in the center, and that's the cord of three, correct?
Yes, well said, Rhett.
Yeah. Well, I can talk a good talk. But anyway, well, it's great to have you here today. I think we should I think we did have your wife on one time. Didn't we? I know I wanted to. Yes, no, I don't know.
If you want to have her on, Rhett, she's a good speaker.
Yeah, and let's have the two of you on.
We can set up another interview with her. She's not.
See, I wanted to bring the two of you to Florida, but here's the problem. I have the desire. I would love to do that, and of course, I do think there could be a little profit in it for me too, which I need to pay the rent, but it would be a good thing and be fun to meet you face to face, which we've never done. But I'm not a good organizer. So maybe the good Lord, could you send somebody to help me organize that? Because, you know, it's like putting together a conference. Have you ever put together a conference?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
When I'm alone with you, Lord, my troubles seem to disappear, and the peace that comforts me always comes when you are near, and the tears just fill my eyes.